Okay, today's daf is daf nun vav, and we were holding right at the bottom of the base, and here in the base, and we were talking, we had begun talking about the union of the mocha, and gotten on to the question of the responsibility. Actually, we ended up coming back to being mocha at the end of the sugya, so in the end, the whole thing is part of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which is the question of Kofni and Pinchas, and why was Pinchas held responsible for the chet of Kofni, at least was one approach in the question. But in general, the idea of the mutual impact of Ra, going all the way back to Gan Eden, Mikra Echad, Latov, Latohor, and so on, is part of the overall sugya of the relationship of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to the Korah of the Shekhinah. And so this goes into sugyas of original sin, so to speak, mutual responsibilities, which is the part of the concept of Mecha, and more, as we'll see. The central idea, I think, is probably Shorashim of Ra. So in Shorashim, the interconnection. That's what we spoke about yesterday, that the Gemara goes through the way that the Torah defines things in a very vicious black and white manner at times, in order to touch the root of the problem, rather than allowing us to make things, paint them with a little patina of prettiness, which is part of our civilization, but we don't face up to the real issues. So yesterday we spoke about the way that the children of Eli were chote, but weren't chote in our terms. And today we'll continue with an interesting continuation of that story, because the truth is Shmuel's children also didn't follow his path. And the reason that that happened to Shmuel was because Eli had cursed him. Because when Shmuel said that he doesn't want to tell Eli the dream that he had, the views that he had, so Eli said to him, well, even though it's al tanai, this is the klal of a chokhmah al tanai becomes true. So just like it uses the lashon of l'manav b'drachav, found by Eli, same thing happens by Shmuel. Nonetheless, says that the Gemara today on the bottom line, Amr of Shmuel ben Afrini, Amr of Yonatan, Kala Omer b'nei Shmuel chatu, Inu el atoe. It would be a mistake to think that Shmuel's children were chote. Shenehemar, although it says vayi, ka'asher zaken Shmuel vayasim et banav shaftim l'Yisrael v'lo achu banav bidrachav vayitu, and then we're going to have to understand what it's vayitu achrei abetza, what was that referring to? But what it does say is bidrachav, I mean to say, lo achu bidrachav, when you're talking about that comparison to Shmuel, it's not the end of the world. Okay, so they weren't exactly as great as Shmuel. You can't expect everybody to be as great as Shmuel. So then if that's the case, but then mani mekayim vayitu achrei abetza. What's the meaning then of their turning after batza? Shelo asu kema'aseh avihim. It was also a comparative statement. In other words, shaya shmuel atzadik mechazer b'chol mekomot Yisrael v'danotam bo'orehim. We know that the idea of circuit courts was something that Shmuel founded. A court that would go around in circuit. Shemar, and this actually introduces the whole sugya of the end of Shmuel's life and the taking over by his children. So when it talks about Shmuel, it says, v'alach midei shana b'shana, he would go every single year v'savav beit el, v'agilgal, v'amitzpah, v'shafat et Yisrael et kol ha'mekomot ha'elem. So everywhere that he went, he set up court, took care of the issues in that area, moved on, which is the meaning of a circuit court. When it says lo ochu bidrachav, it means that ha'im lo asuke. They became institutionalized. Ela yashvu barehem, they settled down wherever they were, and they started expanding. Kedei laharbot schar lechazaneihem, lesofreihem. Now already we have secretaries, and we have the chazanim, we have the people who write the summonses, deliver the summonses. The whole city's making a parnasa from this. We're going to start now running around from place to place. Well, maitik etanoi. What precisely? It's much from Rashi that the Ketanoi actually refers to whether there was hatat betza literally or not. You could learn Ketanoi as how can we define the Vayatra Achar HaBatza. So Vayatra Achar HaBatza, Rabbi Meir, over all this means is Chalkam Shalu Befihem. That is a little bit of a problem because it says after the Vayitu Achar HaBatza, it says Vayatu Mishpat. So the Pashtus, the Batsa was something that was in the first, like Kushochad, Vayatu Mishpat. So apparently, what it was that they had done was Mata them, Megabit Mishpat. Now this Rabbi Meir says, what does it mean when it says, Vayitu Achrei Abatsa? Chelkam Shalu Befihem. Even though they had a right to Maisa Rishon, they requested the Maisa Rishon for themselves. I mean, normally there's no Isser in that, but since they were in the position that they were, nobody would refuse them. And because of that, they took unfair Boy, this is a standard, man. If we would apply the standard today, forget about it. Talk about Shiltono again. So because it was unfair in that they took advantage of their position by asking and the people wouldn't turn them down, it ended up that they basically were stealing money from other aniyim that were roy to take meisim and that weren't going to be able to get it now. And that was the butzah. Well, what allowed them to not realize that was improper was the fact that, look, you know, when it comes to money, people don't see straight. So that's the meaning of Aitofriya butzah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So in other words, so Rashi says the tragic according to Rabbi Meir is that that's how we're supposed to understand via to Mishpat. In other words, Mishpat Hogen is, I mean, it's not that they would judge, they would take something out of it that could affect their judgment in a case. It's not that that's the point. It's that the judgment that an individual applies to his life and dealing with what's appropriate and inappropriate, the desire for the additional money that they were going to be zorach to the meiser allowed them to have a perverse sense of what's appropriate. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it means literally, to some extent, Hatzayat Mishpat, but not Chas V'Shalom, literally Shochad, but what it means is that Malai Yitilo Avalei Batim. They would go to people who were experts in business and so on, and would ask them if they would allow them to invest with them. They would buy a portion of investment to bring Malai, they would bring Schorah, invest in commodities, and ask a broker to handle the case for them.
Greek islands.
What? Greek islands, right? And because of that, when a case would come up that these people would be involved in, they naturally had a nitiyah and didn't puzzle themselves from the din. And so there was an element of atayat mishpat even.
Influenced everybody,
because of
their position.
No, it wasn't that. Well, possibly. I don't know if Rashi needs to take that far, but possibly. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kupa Yetera Shel Maaser Natlu Bizra. It's worse than that, is that they took more Maaser than was really allowed, and they insisted on a chazal this year.
That is real
gezel. Sorry?
Isn't that real gezel?
Well, you think masma and a shir, I mean. Rabbi Yossi Omer, matanot natlu bezroa. They took the zroa lechayim v'kevah, even though they weren't kohenim, they were levim, they didn't really have a right to the matanos. They insisted that it goes to them as shevet levi, representatives, and so on and so forth. Another pshat is that it's just a reference to matanot, not the regular matanot, zroa lechayim v'kevah, right? The matanot meaning matanot of the via. And they weren't supposed to ask on their own, to take on their own, because it says bechlal, by all of the matanot, it says v'natan. We're not from the Natan Lakohen, that the violin is the one who has the right to decide who's going to give it to him, when he wants to give it, how he wants to give it. And they took. Omrib Shmuel Barakmini, Omrib Yonatan. Continuing on with the story, because after all, this is one long story in a sense, is that Kol Omrib David Chatai, no Elatoi. Someone who thinks that David sinned in the Eshet Ish with Bathsheba is making a complete mistake. So he got David a Choldra Chav Baskil Vashemi Imo. And I ask Rav Shechet Bali Yadov Shkinah Imo, I mean, doesn't make any sense. And Lamani Mikayim. So then when Natan HaNavi said to him, Madua Bazita Tva Hashem Lasot Hara, doesn't mean that he did it. It says you were mavazit to think about doing it. Lasot Hara. Shibikesh Lasot Velo Asa. He wanted to do Ra with her, but never did. Meaning that he wanted to sleep with her before he knew that she got that get from Uriah. Now here the truth is, we'll see later on, this Machlok at Rashi and Tosfot, as to what exactly happened. According to Rashi, the get that was sent, the Gemara says that anybody who went out to Milchemet Beit David, one of the takonas that they made, which is a fantastic thing, was in order to avoid horrific problems that come up, I mean, have come up in recent wars, of Igun, was that every soldier would give a get before going out to his wife, which was, before going out to war, and that get, according to Rashi, was a get atznai, that if he doesn't come back from the Maracha, that the get is Chal Me'afshav. So the Chayav already it would have been divorced retroactively. Tosus learns that the get was an absolute get and wasn't conditional. And they simply remarried upon return. We'll see why they said this Gemara, but Tosus concludes that.
The fact that he was with it retroactively.
Well, we'll see. So what it means over here should be Kesh Lasot, is that before she was mekabelet the get, because very often they would go off to war, as we'll see later on happen with David himself and his own brothers, which is a very ironic place from which we learn the din that they used to give getim earlier, that actually came from Yishai. Yishai sent David to the war back at the time of Goliath, which is how he got there, to pick up a get from his brothers so that Yishai's daughter-in-laws wouldn't be left agunot. which is where he came into contact with the whole idea in the first place. But the whole thing is a very, very strange story from beginning to end. But in any event, see, he wanted originally to sleep with Bathsheba before she actually got this get, or something before he knew for a fact that she had received it, and therefore it would still be a suffix. But he didn't. He considered it, but he didn't. Omer Rav, you know, Rebbe, who comes from David HaMelech, he always tries to find, he's Mahapech Vadorish Beschute the David, he always tries to find some reason to understand that David did the okay thing. Now, of course, Lemaise, as the Mepharshim point out, we saw yesterday, that it says, Lo Yelo Ben, if he is a Yisrael, Lo Yelo Erba Chachamim, Lo Nebetal Nidim. So if the Rebbe's grandfather was in fact a Noev, then he's saying, oh, I mean, how am I over here, the Nasi and the central authority on Torah? He's not supposed to have an heir. So I know it couldn't be. So therefore, it was Mahapit was supposed to be the David. And he learns like this, the Rebbe would say, Madu abazita dvar Hashem la sotara. And Rebbe points out an ingenious point here. If you take a look at every other place where it mentions the word asiya together with ra'ah, and it says this about a lot of malachim, it always says asher asa hara. So mishunera azu mikola ocheva Torah. There's no other case in the entire Torah in which the word ra'ah appears in this way. Shekol ra'ocheva Torah tibu vayas. It always says vayas hara b'nei Hashem. And here it says la sot hara b'nei Hashem. Doesn't that say something to you? So in other words, it means that there was a hagamina to do, la sot shibikesh lasot, but lo asa. And if you take a look at the continuation of the pasuk, I mean, what does it say? Et Uriah hachiti hikita b'cheret, v'tishto lakachta l'cha l'isha, v'oto harakta b'cheret b'nei Amon. Every word in that pasuk proclaims David's innocence. Because l'maisa, what is the meaning of Uriah hachiti hikita b'cheret? And if you shot him through the head, what's the point? Harakta, ratzakta, who the heck cares whether it was with a cherub or the woman? What are you saying, harakta b'cherub? That's the issue over here. What are we waxing poetic about the death, or are we talking about what it is that he did wrong? I'll tell you what the pshat is, says Rebbe. The pshat is like this. Shayala kaladuno b'sanhedrin, you're like a barbarian. What's the pshat? You kill a guy with a sword. That's the issue here? See, that's exactly the issue. Albeit he should have been killed. But this was not the way to do it. You held that he was right to be killed, and we'll see later on why he was right to be killed. It should have been done in a civilized fashion. You take a man to court, and you go through the mishpat, and not to kill him with a sword on your own authority. That was the problem. And you didn't. Now, the Maisa, there's a tremendous machloket, whether there's a fear of Bechlal on a melech to be done by Sanhedrin. I mean, there's really a number of different shitot over here. Tosus learns that there's a fear to be done by Sanhedrin. But the problem is that if you take the Tosfos Kipshuto, it means that until he's Nidon B'Sanhedrin, that he's not Chayav Mitzah like anybody else. You see, you're going to take somebody who would have been Chayav Mitzah had the best of Paskin. And there's no question we had witnesses, they would have so Paskin. And you shoot him through the head. And you're Chayav Mitzah. There's no heter to kill somebody who you're convinced is going to be Chayav Mitzah. Once already there's a Psak Din, so then he has a Din already of someone who, for all intents and purposes, is dead. Yeah. So then it doesn't change anything. If Lamaisa, you should have been done in the Sanhedrin, the Ikarat did, and then you murdered him. Somebody's saying David didn't do anything wrong. He murdered him. So therefore, even according to Tosfos, there's a whole brisker of on this, certainly. Even according to Tosfos, many hold Tosfos just saying that if Bezdin, you take him to Sanhedrin, it's not that Sanhedrin defines the din. That's the difference between a Morid Malchut. The Melech defines the din. The Beit Din is there to discover the facts, which is normally not the function of Beit Din. And the secondary function of Beit Din is to discover the facts. But what the Beit Din really does is creates the din. By Morid B'Malchut, the Beit Din doesn't create the din. It's just that, okay, let's make sure that we have the facts straight. And you believe that he's a Morid B'Malchut. What do you summit on? Such and such witnesses and so on. Let's go through the din. See if that's true. If that's true, it's in your hands. But Lamaisa, if Beit Din would establish that it's true, then even Lamafreya, the guy was Chayav Misa. Because he was always a Morid B'Malchut. So the psak or the non-psak of Beit Din is not really important, other than in terms of the niceties. And in fact, that's what others learn, that since over here it's important to establish that you didn't act out of the obvious reasons that you wanted to act, when you're trying to get a guy knocked off after impregnating his wife, it don't look very good. So therefore, the correct way to have done it was to go through Beis Din. According to the Rambam, this is not, it's only because of the special circumstances that we're saying this. It's never a fear to go to Beis Din.
The only thing is that the Rambam learns that a melech has rishus to kill, not a chiyuv to kill, in which case somebody else would kill him. It wouldn't be that he would be yotze edin that the guy is chayav misa. Again, there's a whole brisker of that's b'chalak between Malchut Beit David and then a melech as a moshel. And then a moreid Malchut Beit David is a chiyuv of mitah, then is a chiyuv, not rishut, and then anybody is supposed to kill him and so on. Then that part of our sugya, but just you should know, it's not that simple what it means. Shayalach aladunon b'sanhedrin. But okay, it could mean that under the circumstances, you should have taken to the Sanhedrin, instead you went and used the cherev, so to speak. So it's referring to the barbaric way in which this was done. That was the taina. Which is a question of form, rather than a question of content. So it means that the pasuk is essentially saying that David did not murder Uriah Hittite. That ishto lakach talakala isha. Now hold on a second. You cannot take somebody else's wife for a wife. That is an impossibility in Jewish law. So the pasuk is saying, and you took his wife for your wife, what is it saying? That you look in Yeshua Nabah. In other words, that Mikra din, it was Shayach to take her for, which means she wasn't married. So if we're calling her someone else's wife, again, it's because of the expectations. It's because of the forms. When a soldier sends a get to his wife because of what might happen to him in war, it may very well be that legally they're not married, but it's a nasty thing to take advantage of. And so in form, it was improper. And where do we learn that out from, ironically? Take these 10 big cheese containers over here, bring it up to the mempeh, and see how your brothers are doing. This is said to the young David, who is being sent up to the war. And take from them their guarantee. What is this guarantee? Maya ruvatan. So Tani Rav Yosef Devarim Hamu Uravim Vein Olavina. It's a remnant to debt. So it was Yishai who told David that this is an important thing to do. Then Natan HaNavi continues about the terrible things that you did to Uriah Hittite. Voto harakta becherev b'nei Amon. And you murdered him with the swords of b'nei Amon. Nu. And you already said, Ikita becherev. Elo the pshat is, what are you coming to tell me? The Navi is essentially telling him, not only aren't you higher as a Ritzicha, because he was Becherev, but Lamaisa wasn't even your Becherev. You think there's a Chiyav on you? There's no Chiyav on you. Well, you're going to say that every place that B'nai Amon went and killed people, so you're responsible because it was your war. In the same way, Becherev B'nai Amon, you're not responsible for. You have no dinim on you because of Uriah. Why is that true? My time. Morei b'malchut amin. Uriah Hittite was chayav mitah because he was a murid b'malchut. How do we know he was a murid b'malchut? Because of the incredible insolence of telling David, v'adoni yo'av, v'avdei adoni apnei asadeh chonim. So there they are. David tells him, listen, Uriah, you had a hard time in the war. Why don't you go back home, take a rest for a night, have a good time with your wife. Make sure you have a good time with your wife. And then go back to the war. So he says, "What? This is what you told me to do. My master Yoav, who's the general, and all of the servants of my master Yoav are sitting out there on the field in such dire straits, and I'm supposed to be having fun at home." Absolutely not. So Rashi learns that it's the phraseology. What do you say in front of David and my master Yoav? Who is Master Yoav? You're Master Yoav. I mean what exactly is a master when you're talking about a melech? He's only an eved to the melech. He's not a master. So in calling someone in front of a melech his master, that itself is a tremendous merida. So it's as tiny as you. I mean, you can't call that a merida, because it's only a merida would be if you intended on some level to make him a master who would be equivalent to take the place of the melech. That's a rebellion. But to call the Sar Tzava appointed by the king your master because he's the one above you, and in no way indicating that he's on the level of the king, or certainly that he's meant to replace the king, so why would that be a morade? The Tosfos says that obviously it's only because of the context in which he continues on to say, "Ani avor al beiti lechol v'lishkavi mishti." That's what you expect from me. Everybody else is out on the field, and I'm supposed to act like Mr. Domesticated. No way I'm going to do such a thing. So in other words, it was the Tosfos learns that it was the rejection of the command of David that was the merida. He was told to do something, do it. Lemaisa, one could suggest a middle position in this. That the fact that he said that I'm not going to do it is not a merida, per se. Because the time that he gives is not that I don't want to do what the melech tells me to do. It's that I'm greatly appreciative for the way that you want to let me off, but I just don't feel right about it. Fine, that's not called Merida. But in the context in which you're saying, man, I don't know where you're coming from, but you're from outer space. The real people in this world aren't thinking about going home and having fun. They're thinking about doing things. So I don't know who you are. You see, that's basically the real context. In such a context, when you say Adoni Yoav, you're saying, the guy who really knows what's going on is Yoav, not you. And therefore, you telling me to do this is so inappropriate. You don't know what you're talking about. So in there, the whole thing is a merida. Because you're saying that you're out of it. I don't even consider that. It's deeply insulting to say that. Right? Is the whole pasuk deeply insulting? It's not the phrasing of Adoni Yoav particularly, or the fact that I won't do it. It's together. What I'm saying is that you're crazy. That there are real people in the world, and then there's spoiled idiots that sit back here sending out other people to do the dirty work. That's you. That's essentially what the pasuk is saying. Okay, so the Maisi was fired. Omar Rav, ki me'ayanta baby David, if you pay strict attention to David's life, lo mashkachata, you won't find anything wrong with it. Bar mit Uriah. The only thing was this Maisi Uriah. Dear Stephen, it says, refresh the Torah. Rak bidvar Uriah hakiti. The only thing that wasn't Yosher, the first part of the pasuk is Asad David Ayashar ben Yashem, and lo sar mikolasher tzivo, that means that he was mamish at Tzadik Gomer, so the pasuk is being made. The only thing that one could say that David did wrong was the Maisa Uriyati. Now, Maisa Tosis is bothered by the fact that the problem of the Hasata later on, of the counting, which was Shalok Adin that was Goring the Magefa and so on Yisrael, that is not a Makota. That seems to be clear that he did that. The Torah says maybe we're not including that because it wasn't such a terrible avon, but maybe he didn't do it on purpose also. Because he thought that it was okay. So what it means is he didn't consciously ever do anything against anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. But that this was a shogeg, so we're not including that.
But according to this, then David did sin, according to this Melachim.
Well, he did sin, there's no question, he sinned.
Yeah, it says
sin means when it says doesn't mean we ignore the pasuk. It means anyone who thinks David sinned kipshuta and took an eshes ish is making a mistake. Doesn't mean he didn't sin at all. He acted in ways that were inappropriate. Again, what the Torah is doing over here is it's focusing on the underlying roots of what's happening. What happened is for all of the very relevant rationalizations, lamaisa, what was done was irrelevant in terms of its underlying shorish, which was the violation of another person's relationship with a woman who is milchedes for him. The fact that you can find halachic reasons why this is kosher doesn't change the underlying issue from which the halacha itself is no bad. There's an underlying issue of evil in the violation of relationships. And the question of whether that takes on a form that's mechayev you invest in is a different question. And it's a very relevant question. But as far as defining the roots of evil, before there was a Torah, there were roots of evil. And that's the point. So good, you figured out a way in which it's butter. And therefore you're not annoyed. Therefore you're not someone who took someone else's wife. Yeah, you took someone else's wife, meaning kosher. But you took someone else's wife. It's also true. So in other words, we're looking again at the starkness of the issue rather than at the legalities of the issue. So we're trying to search for the shoresh. Then we have another, so the question is, we have another issue that David did wrong. Because, I mean, it's amazing. Rav is saying over here that David did nothing wrong but the way that he treated Uriah. My father, Zatzal, always pointed out, if you take a look at the whole story, he shouts that he wasn't taking an Eshes Ish. It says that David goes up to the roof. He sees a woman. She's taking a shower. What is she doing? She was Anita. And she now was being Tovela. So in other words, it's necessary for us to know that she was tired. So he goes and finds out about her. I mean, so in other words, he needed to know that she, I mean, an Eshes Ish doesn't bother me, but you know, I wouldn't want to sleep with Anita. I say, if you're going, go all the way already. You know, what's the point of going to the mikveh for Anita and Eshes Ish? So you see right away that the issue was that he was doctor being mocked that she would be ruined. That's the context in which he discovered her. So he clearly figures out, listen, if I'm given to see a woman that she should be Tahira, and he knew that she was ruined, so the whole thing is basically a taking a thing before its time. Which, by the way,
that's has historic nothing.
Is, sorry?
And that was the whole thing.
The nature of fate.
Yeah, and even the marshal that was given to him was not ideal.
Right, the marshal that's given to him was a violation of personal pet. Exactly. That's not an ishish, but it's something that somebody cares about. And that's the point. It's a personal relationship. I'm saying, but the idea of taking something before its time is the nature of the chet of Onamarisha. In other words, it's clear that the world is meant to be ours. The question is, how does it become ours? But, okay, that's pointed out. That's why we use fig leaves, right? Fig is fag in Hebrew, which means premature. And that's what we call, actually, pagim. Pagim means premature, immature figs. And all, in terms of zroyim, a pag, my Hebrew is it for humans, but a pag is a fig. It's the mocker of the English fig, which becomes the fig leaves that were taken, that's going to dominate the Sustaina. Because that's the whole point, is the doing things before their time, figuring that you can act upon something and then it's okay. Violation of boundaries is a time boundaries. All right, anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, we have a problem. If it's Rav who says over here that the only thing that David did was the mice with the Yachid, then Rav is contradicting himself. Says Abaya, run to the Rav. The Amar Rav, how could Rav have said that? The Amar Rav kibel David Lashon Hara. Rav is the one who says that David was Makaba Lashon Hara during the story of Mephibosheth. So how could he say over here they didn't do anything wrong? Gosh, that's a problem. Gufa, by the way, let's get into that for a minute. You know, the story was that when Avshalom, at first when David took over the Malucha, so he did a search to see if any of Shaul's children and grandchildren were alive. And he had made a promise to Yonatan that he would take care of any children of Yonatan's. And he was told that there was one crippled child of Yonatan, his name was Mephibosheth, who was being cared for by an Eved by the name of Tziva. And so he calls Tziva, and he asks him about this boy. And Tziva uses a language of he's in Lo Davar. Now, Lo Davar is spelled there in the Pasuk with an Aleph, Lo Davar. David sends and calls him, and finds him in a place called Lo Davar, but with a Vav. So the implication is that Tziva had berated him and said, Lo Davar, that you will not find him to be a very meaningful, knowledgeable person. And when he looked after him, he found out that Lo Davar, that he was a full person, he was an important person. So basically, David already saw that Tziva was attempting to undermine his relationship with Mephibosheth. What happens later is that when David is chased away by his son, so many people came along with David, those who were loyal to David came along with David. Tziva runs and claims that now Mephibosheth isn't interested in coming, and that he's the one who's loyal to David. And then when David comes back, so he says to Tziva, what's going on? You know, so see, when Tziva came then, so David said, well, if that's the case, I'm giving you all of Mephibosheth's property. So he hands over the whole thing. Of course, that wasn't legally valid until David would be in a position to enforce it. Like, right now, it was a wish. So when he comes back, Mephibosheth comes to greet him, and he asks Mephibosheth, so what, how do you explain your behavior? So he says, I'm a cripple, and I wanted to go out with you. I can't walk. I told Tziva to saddle up the donkey and to get me in saddle, and I would come with you. And instead, he took advantage of the situation to run off, and go to you and to claim that I was happy that you were gone, and that I had gone to Yerushalayim expecting that now everybody's going to come to me because I'm from Beit Shaul. They're going to give me back the Maluch and so on. And so he screwed me. But, you know, you're the king. You do what you want, and whatever you believe, you believe. So David says to him, well, you know, I already said, basically, I'm giving him some. So you split it. I'm giving him half of your stuff. So Mephibosheth says to him something that has nasty undertones. Well, and it's one of these controlled insolence things, which what you say is something that's very appropriate, but underneath it sounds very strange. So he says, look, what would I have to say anything after such a wonderful day that you were so good to come back? You know, I have no time, I'll let him take the whole thing. Fine. Which essentially was saying, you know, I thought that it would be a great day with you coming back, you know, and I didn't care about anything, we'll take the whole thing because, yeah. Now, a guy like he was back here, there's no justice anyway. You know? Okay. There were two tones in what he was saying. Now, there's a machlokas amarayim as to whether David had detected elements of Mephibosheth that led him to recognize that Mephibosheth actually was, to some extent, grateful that David had been displaced and was hoping that he would actually never come back, which is why although he recognized that Tziva obviously had played around, but he was going to split it with Tziva, or whether he had actually been makabel the Lashon Hara from Tziva incorrectly, had no reason after he met Mephibosheth to expect that Tziva was right. He should have given him an opportunity to show what the truth was. And in saying that he should split the property, he was doing something terrible. and unjust. Rav is the one who holds that David was mekabel shomera. In which case, it doesn't make sense that Rav should say that Rak the Dvar were yachiti, and that that was the only thing in David's life that was wrong. Each time the Pasuk says Rak the Dvar were yachiti could mean on the level of issues that are directly knowable by everybody. It doesn't mean it's the only thing did wrong in his life. And yet that's what Rav is insisting. So what was the story? Gufa. Rav Amar Kibel David Lashonara. Ketiva Yomel HaMelach Eifohu. That Shmuel then asked Tziva, where is Mephibosheth? This is when he first was sent around to find out about him. So Vayomer Tziva HaMelach Hineyu Beit Machir Ben Amiel Belo Davar. He's nowhere, man. Nowhere. So and then it turns out that he turns out that he's everywhere. He's a big Talmud Chacham. So Bifti. Chazi de Shikra Havi, he already saw that Tziva was a liar. Then Kihada Alshinaluya, when Tziva later, in the after the days of Avshalom, Tziva told him this mice, my kind of keep him here. Why did David believe Tziva when Tziva lied to him? It says, Vayomer Amelach Vaye ben Adonecha, Vayomer Tziva, Lamelach Hine Yoshev Yushalayim. And he believes all of this. Good. He accepts this from him. How do you know he accepted? Maybe he didn't believe a word. We know that the Kiva. What do you mean? He says, he says to Tziva, you should take all of Mephibosheth's property. And Tziva says, so apparently it was the Kabbalah. Now, Rashi points out that from what happens at this moment, we don't have a riot against Mekabel HaShemar. Because clearly David understood that what he said at this point had no legal meaning. He wasn't in a position of a melech to be able to enforce giving a gift of Mephibosheth's property to Tziva. And therefore, essentially what he's saying is boiling down to, well, if you're right, then I'm giving everything that Mephibosheth has to you. But he was not committing himself as being right. It's only later, when he would come back, that he would actually determine. So he kept his options open. Fine. Now, Shmuel says, yes, but the fact that in the end he actually did take away part of Mephibosheth's property to give to Tziva was not because he was Mekabel Lashon Hara, it was because he subsequently saw that Tziva was telling the truth. Lo kibel David Lashon Hara, dvarim hanikarim chazabe. He actually saw that Mephibosheth was happy at the terrible things that he and that had happened to poor David. So David comes back, and he discovers that when Mephibosheth comes to greet him, so it says, Mephibosheth ben Shaul, Yorad v'krat ha-melech, v'lo asar ha-gvav, v'lo asar tzfamol, et begadav lo chibes, l'min ha-yom lechat ha-melech, ad ha-yom ha-shirba v'shalom. Now basically, what it really happens, Mephibosheth had gone into mourning when this happened to David. So David thought, so why is he being mekabel me in this fashion? As he's in mourning that I'm returning. And he was hoping that I wouldn't return. And therefore, he didn't accept Mephibosheth's explanation, and he said, okay, you can split it. And then, when Mephibosheth answered him in a chutzpah fashion, he spoke to him insolently, at least there were elements of insolence beneath the surface, so then he really felt that he had done the right thing. So it says then that Vayiki, Vayushalayim, Yikrak HaMelech, Vayomelo HaMelech, Lama Lo Alach, Vayimi Mephibosheth, how did you do this? You didn't follow me. Vayomar, Ni HaMelech, Avdi Rimani, I said that I was going to get on into my vehicle and come and greet you. You know that I'm a cripple. And then comes along Tziva, and he ran away with it. And then not only did he run away with my car, but he goes and he says over all of these lies, I'm nothing more to say. You do what you think is right. I'm telling you how it is. So David says to him, stop talking so much. I already said that basically he's going to get something. I mean, I can't just... But yeah, you split it. So what happens? What is my property to me compared to the happiness that I have that you are back? So what he was really saying was, I've been in mourning that this happened to you and was waiting for you to come back. This is the way you treat me. That time is against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what I needed. You deserve to come to Shalom. Why did he bring you back? which is why we find that, strangely enough, in Divrei HaYomim, we call the son of Yonatan, instead of giving the name Mephibosheth, we call him Merib Baal. It says over there, Ben Yonatan, Merib Baal. I mean, that's not his name. Of course, we always change names in Divrei HaYomim in order to imply something about the person. So why do we call him Merib Baal Shmo? I'm Mephibosheth Shmo. All through Shmuel, he's called Mephibosheth, and all of a sudden, Divrei HaYomim, he's called Merib Baal. Elamitosha san Merib Va'im Baalav. Because instead of arguing out and explaining the position, saying what was, giving David a chance to do what was right, right away he's arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, basically. Ah, Hashem is on the din. The Amr is a Yatzta Batko, the Amralo Natsa Bar Natsa. You know what you are, you say, a person looking for argument the way your grandpa used to be. Natsa the Amralo, we just said. The guy gets angry and you lose it. Bar Natsa, same thing your father and grandfather did. Same language, Merib Baal. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, go kill Amalek, and you've got a whole moral problem now. Make a whole cow, what's Banochal, as we know, Ali's King Ocha. And he made a cow of Homer from Nachalitam and from the Bimelech Larufa. If the Torah is so mocking on one innocent soul, so how can the Torah say we should be genocidal and kill off innocent people? And how that doesn't make any sense? And the end result is that because of his great liberalism over here, he ends up murdering the whole city of Melgirakonim with everything, all the disasters that followed and so on. All of this from the attitude of let's be more moral than God. So therefore, when it says over here that he was Mekabel Lashon Hara, the fact that the way Rav is learning is that there were insufficient signs to the effect. That may have found the contrary. Mephibosheth, in fact, had been in mourning, and he should have seen it as such. Omer Rav Yehud, Omer Rav, B'sha'ash Amar David Mephibosheth. Since, according to Rav, David was Mekabel Lashon Hara. At that moment, that David said to Mephibosheth, okay, what's the big deal? Hata betziva techalku et hasadeh. Yatzta bat kol, this is so dramatic, it's so beautiful. Yatzta bat kol v'amra lo. Yeah, you're right, it's no big deal. Rechavam v'yiravam yechalku et hamelucha. And your grandchildren will split the melucha with Yeravam ben Avot. How about that? I mean, it's no big deal, right? You know, you take half, you take that, yes. Omer Rav Yehud Amar Rav, take a look at this. Because of this 1 second of a judgment call as to whether Mephibosheth was telling the truth or not. If that hadn't happened, lo nech l'ka machut beit David, there never would have been a Yeravam ben Avot, which would have meant lo adu Yisrael avad azara, never would have been a Golitz, never would have been a Churban, lo galinu me'artzenu, all because of a split second judgment call, which is a machlokes Rav Yishmuel.
Isn't there another sinai? After earlier, didn't we have when Shaul was using the facilities and he cut the cloth?
There was a sin. It's an hoga. It's not an ambera. It doesn't say anywhere, don't cut cloth. It's a very, very dramatic remark. And then continuing in the same story, of course, we have Shlomo. Shlomo also built, if you take the Tanakh seriously, he built Mizbechot all over for Obed Rabba. The Zohar, God only knows, the man was a disaster. I mean, horrible. Says Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani, I'm going to call him Shlomo Chatan HaMelech. You're going to be an idiot to think that Shlomo HaMelech built Mizbechot to the Baal. Shnemar. What a joke. Again, he's going around dedicating his life to building the YMCA. And God only knows the Church of Our Savior and who knows what else. But this is the man who wasn't quite under my grade of David HaMelech. That's why it's clearly like a Levav David HaMelech with a Levav. He did any of these insane things. So then why does it say, Vahila Eitzik, not Shlomo, no Shavi to it Levavon, that's the special Pasuk. It says, Achreel Yimachirim. And that's the same Pasuk as, the end of the Pasuk is, V'lo Haya Levavon Shavayim Hashem to Levav David HaMelech. So how do we understand that? That's Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson from Ektiva, you like to and Hashem to the Babo. I, the same Pasuk, it says Kelavav David Aviv, which means Kelavav David Aviv Lahavi, the Michta Nami Lovata. So therefore, the only way to understand it is Arti Kama. Vayila Eitzik Nachshlamo, Nashavi Tuet Levavo, La Lechet Achare Elohim Achare. Fine. Where's it saying he did? His wife, they worked on him. They really worked him over. Yeah, and of course, and he didn't. They said go, and he said no, and that's all. Oh, wait, it's all very cute, but I mean, it says Az Yivneh Shlomo Bama Lichmush Shkutz Moav. So I mean, what does it say about that? It says Shegetz over here, building something to Shegetz over here, like Shkutz Moav. So what about that? And it says Velamolech Shkutz Bnei Amon. I mean, this is serious stuff. No, it says Az Yivneh doesn't say that he bana. Bikesh levnaot, but lo bana. Oh, really? So when it says, Paz yivneh Yehoshua mizbeach l'Hashem, it's not that he really built a mizbeach l'Hashem. Is he considered maybe he built a mizbeach l'Hashem? What kind of nonsense is this? She bikesh levnaot, but lo bana. Elo di bana, obviously means he built a mizbeach l'Hashem, which must mean that Shlomo Melech was bana. What are you going to say about that? The meaning of this is what? Take a look at the Brayis. So Rav Yossi Omer, that ha-bamot asher al-pnei Yerushalayim, asher miyamin la-har ha-mishkah, asher banah Shlomo Melech Yisrael, la-shterot, shtutz, tzidonim. Now we have over here a whole list of the edge of Har HaZeitim, of all of these bamot, which Shlomo Melech had made for the ashterot, and the chmosh, the shikutz of Moab, and Milcom, the Bnei Amon garbage, and so on. So let me ask you something. It says over there that Yoshio came and destroyed all of those bamot, right? Now Yoshio is at the very end of Malchut Beit David. In between the time of Shlomo and Yoshio, there were a number of revolutionary anti-Avodah Zarah moments in which the people went out bananas, like the Taliban, uprooting every possible remnant to any type of Avodah Zarah. So I'm asking you. Asa came along, and he didn't do anything, right? He still had little Buddhas over there that everybody could come to. Yehoshaphat comes along, Volobiyarum. He didn't think anything's wrong with Shlomo's Bomos, the Kamosh, and so on and so forth. That doesn't bother him. But little Yoshio comes along centuries later, and he's figured out that this stuff is no good. Now, does that make sense to you? The Torah says that they went around all over the place and destroyed everything. So how can you say that he wasn't there? Ella, I'll tell you what the point is. Makish Rishonim Yachronim. What it's doing over here is comparing the original ones who built, in other words, Shlomo Melech built it. It's putting in this pasuk, the building of Shlomo is comparable to the destruction of Yoshio, okay? You believe Yoshio destroyed it? No. Ma'achronim lo asu. It's not that Yoshio himself destroyed it. It's that what we're looking at Yoshio is the culmination of all of the efforts through centuries of the destruction of Avodah Zarah that was put in by Malchus Beis David. Is now being wrapped up by Yoshio, even though he himself didn't take particular care about this thing. That was centuries ago. But so ma'achronim lo asu, but nonetheless, talaba em l'sheba. The Torah considers that Yoshio's tshuva revolution was so important that because of everything that he had done, we should look at him as the closure of a vast enterprise of teshuva. So afrishonim lo asu, but talaba em l'ginai. So too, in the same pasuk that we mentioned, those who supposedly built the things that Yoshio supposedly destroyed. So just as much as Yoshio destroyed them, that's how much Shlomo built them. So even though he hadn't built them personally, the Torah was tola, the gnai of Avodah Zarah that needed to be fought against as blaming Shlomo. Why blaming Shlomo? That's why it says, Vayas Shlomo harav in Hashem, takes us right back to the Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah have a parah? No. Did Rebbe write in the Mishnah that he had a parah for all generations? Yes. No. So if Rebbe did it, God couldn't do it. So it means he was the one responsible. If he marries these women from God knows where and gives them an allowance to do God knows what, then who knows what God? And the male, the end result is that it's all his responsibility. So and therefore, the whole thing that Yoshio had to do, which culminates centuries of effort of uprooting, was uprooting what Shlomo had done. Because if he had put a stop to it in the beginning, it never would have happened. So the place in which Yisrael was affected after the Malchut had already been, you want to say they came to Eretz Canaan, and they were in contact with Moab and with these various shikutzim of Ammon and whatever they were, after all, under the heel of their enemies for all of this time. Very nice. But once David and Shlomo come along and they clear everything out, how did it get back in? Shlomo. Therefore, when we have a pasuk that wraps up the hundreds of years of the Malucha, so we're talking about basically 500 years in one pasuk, we say, and Shlomo did that, and Yoshio did that. And it's brilliant when you see it in that way. Because it puts everything in such stark relief. You want to talk about 500 years of Jewish history? It consisted of trying to undo the damage that one person did because he wasn't Moab. And he's to blame. So again, if you're looking for the shoresh of something, that's where you have to look. And that has to do with the interrelationship of people in the context of Ra. So, therefore, Omer of Yerom Shmuel, you should know that as far as Shlomo personally is concerned, he would have gladly become the shamish in a church. Not to have this horrific pasuk being said about him, that he was Vayasa Rabbein Yashem. It's terrific. But that's the bottom line. You don't do what you have to do to be Mocha. It's as if you spent your life working for the church. Absolutely horrific. Omer Yeram Shmuel. B'sha'ab, sh'nasa Shlomo et Bat Paro. When Shlomo first married Bat Paro. So everything was very subtle. All she did was bring the National Symphony Orchestra of Cairo with her, and she played him the Messiah. That's all. She said, listen, this is what they do. This is what they do in such and such a church. You know, and then she played him the Requiems. This is what they do. It's like beautiful music, isn't it? Forget about the silly religious overtones. Some Rabbi Kako Simla, but that's our Plonit. Elif Mi Examen. There's a thousand symphonies she's got there. Kako Simla, but that's our Plonit. Kako Simla, but that's our Plonit. No, Shlomo is very interested. It's a cultural experience. Volumi Chava. And that's where it all began. Omer of Yudom Shmuel. B'sha'ash and Asa Shlomo et Bat Paro. Yorad Gabriel v'na'atz kama banyan. It was a little tiny event, wasn't it? That wouldn't have any implications, would it? And neither would one read on the Tiber. Unless you recognize that things tend to silt up over time. So Gabriel put one little read in the Tiber. At the same time that Shlomo put one little reed in the form of a girl from Cairo, and Va'alava Sirton, and it started silting up. And after the centuries, when the time came, there was a big city there by the name of Rome. So from little acorns. Bimatnita Tana, Oto Hayom, Shifnisi Ravam, Shnei Egle Zahav, Echad Bebeit El, Vechad Bedan, Nivna Tzrif Echad. There's another little lousy tzrif that somebody put up in a place that became, in the end, Italia Shel Yavan, which became the center then of the Greek Roman civilization. And that put an end to all of the dreams of Yerovam and the people with it. Omer Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Omer Rav Yonatan, Kol HaOmer Yoshiyahu Chatan, Eino Ela Toeh. Now, even though the Maisa, Yoshiyahu is portrayed as a tremendous Baal Tshuva, as a leader of a fantastic Tshuva movement, right? And Vishav al Hashem, and so on and so forth. If you think that he was a Russia, even though it's a Shaval Hashem, that he had been voting, he's Shaval Hashem, you're wrong. Shem Vayasa Yashar Ben Hashem. Vayelech Bechol Derech David Aviv. Lamais, it says over here, he followed the entire path of David. So how can you say he was found? He was someone who had been voting, and then he found his way back. Elaman Imekayim. What then is the meaning of the pasuk that says, Uchomo, lo hayalef alav melech, asher shav el Hashem, bechol levavo, bechol nafsho, bechol mo'odo. What does that mean? It's called Shadan Mimet. What happened was that he had taken over the Malchus when he was 8 years old. Every din that he had judged as a king between the ages of 8 and 18, he gave the money back. So here's a big machlokas. Why exactly did he give the money back? The Tur paskins that a dayan beneath the age of 18 has no right to be done. So he's not simply not maturing enough to take into consideration all the possibilities. And because of that, looking back at what he did, he felt that he had no right to be done. And he no longer was able to know who was right and who was wrong. He paid the money out of his own pocket. Look, I'm as high of you to pay him $100,000. Here's $100,000 back. But I'll pay for you. Because I'm not sure I did the right thing. So that's just a Shabbat Hashem B'chali Bo. Others learn, including Rashi, it's not a din in normal dying, but what happened over the year is that it's clear that up until the time he was 18, that was the year that Chilkiyo found the Sefer in the Beit Hashem, in which they reconstructed the dinim that had been forgotten because of the tremendous attacks on Tamei Chachamim and all of the Hashem had gone underground. So he recognized that he had made a lot of mistakes in din. It's not that there's anything wrong with being down below 18. But my circle is all about focus, but appears to be my focus in Yerushalmi, and I'm Orayimist. But that's how the Tur Paskins, that you don't do a din under the age of 18. The Omar Rab, Upligit Rab, this that says that he never did Ra, that he wasn't about Shuvah, is Chilik and Rab. Rab says, Einach HaGodol B'Balei Shuvah, Yoter Miyoshiyo B'Doro, V'Echa B'Dorino. There's one guy in our generation that is also a cosmic Baal Shuvah, but there's nobody in Tanakh that you find like that other than Yoshiyo. He obviously holds that Yoshiyo really had been Chotzei. Who am I referring to? Who is he referring to, Rab, by the way? He was referring to Abba, who was Avuad Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba. As some say, it was Acha, who was Achua, the Abba, Avuad Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba. Because, I mean, that's not a problem. I'm a mother of Abba and Acha were brothers. So he either was an uncle or he was the father. That's how we got mixed up. It was Abba or it was Acha. Omer of Yosef, well, that was in Rav's time. I could tell you in our generation there's somebody else on that moderator. And that's Ukvan Bar Nechemya, who's the Reish Galusa. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. And they gave him the name Natan Ditsutsita. They called him Natan the Spark, because I'll tell you, because obviously the pure guy was once sitting in the shir at the time of the Kala, and I was dreaming a little bit in shir, you know. The Chazoi B'chilma.
Where's
the... Where's the... Where's we're coming to the... And I saw in a dream at the Kaposhet Yadeh that a malach stuck out his hand, and the kibbeh was makabo him with the tzitzis rosha.
It's called
to this person. And Maisa has a whole story about him that Rabbi Natan mentions over here, the Medrash. It was called after the tzitzita, because wherever he would walk, there was an image of a candle on his head, the first halo. So what had happened is that he fell madly in love with this woman. And he literally became sick from her. And she, what did you know? And I was like, I always wondered what would happen if the ring was given into my hand. And that's exactly what happens. Wouldn't you know, this woman ends up needing money. And he's a rich guy, and he's sick, because he's dreaming about her. And who walks into the house? She walks into the house. She needs money. And so she asks him for a loan. So obviously he makes a little deal. And then he doesn't go through with it. So he didn't sleep with her. He had her in his hands and everything else, and at that point he said no. So from that moment on, a mare would follow him around in the streets. So he was called Tzitzita because of this mice. Hagen alach ha dama behema
li hele chanto da
b'me isha yotza u'b'ma ina yotza lo tzei isha lo b'chu tzei tzener. It sounds a little bit too much like a mission of the other paragraph. It's a good thing that we don't have the Ezra's Nashim open today.
Who raises the dip that I've hold?
Okay. Gotta keep away from this minas adin.
If these guys are
also just starting,
if they were not such a
Rabbanim has trouble with them. Rabbanim has trouble.
Omer b'shmo barach meni omer b'yonatan. Kol omer b'nei Shmuel chatu, inu elu to'e. Shine ema'ar, v'yika asher zaken Shmuel, v'yosem et banav shoftim li Yisrael, v'lo olchu banav bedrachav. V'yitu achrei abotza, v'yikru shorchad, v'yatu b'shpat. No bedrachav v'lo olchu, v'nmich tanami lo chatu. Salaman yimekayim v'yitu achrei abotza, shlo asu kemaase avihem, shay Shmuel ha-tzadik mechazer b'chol mekomot Yisrael v'dan otan b'ar ayim sh'nema v'alach midei shana b'shana v'zavah b'it el v'agilgal v'amitzpah v'shafat et Yisrael et kol ha-mekomot ha-ele whereas they aim lo asukim lo yashvu b'ar ayim kedei l'arbot zachar l'chazan ayim l'sofrayim ketanai v'yitu achrei abotza Rabbi Meir omer chelkam sh'alu b'fiyem Rabbi Yehuda omer melai yitilu al ba'alei batim Rabbi Akiva omer kupa yitira shel ma'aser natlu bizroa Rabbi Yosef omer matanot natlu bizroa omer pshuvot nechmini omer Rabbi Yonatan kol omer David chataynu ela to'e shema v'yi David l'chol drachav maskil v'ashem imo efshar chet bal yado shechina imo ela ma ani mekayem madua v'azit et dvar Hashem לעשות הרע שביקש לעשות, but לא עשה. אמר רב, yeah, that's ready, דעתי מדוד. He's always מהפך ודרך בשכות את דוד. מדוע בזית הדבר שם לעשות הרע? רבי אומר, נוט, משונה רעה זו מכל רעות שבתורה. שכל רעות שבתורה כתיבו, ויעש הרע. וכאן כתיב לעשות, which means שביקש לעשות, ולא עשה. את זורי אחיתי, כית בחרב, שהיה לך לדון בסנדרים, ולא דעתי. ותשתו לקחת אותך לאישה מיני, לקוחים יש רבה. דאמר רב שמואל בן נחמני, אמר רב יונתן, כל היוצא למלחמת בית דוד, כותב גט כריתות לאשתו. שנאמר, ואת עשרת חריצי החלב האלה תביא לשר האלף, ואת אחיך תפקוד לשלום, ואת ערובתם תיקח. זאת אומרת, צריך ערובתם אבחיך. תנאי רב יוסף, דבורים המעורבים בינו לבינה. ואותו רק בחרב בני אמון, continues נתן הנביא, מה חרב בני אמון היא התעננה שלו, ואף אורי אחרית היא התעננה שלו. אז why? Because we זמורים למלכות, די אומר לב, אדוני יואב, עבדי אדוני, הפני הצלחונים, and you expect me now to do what you're telling me. Fine. Omer Rav, ki ma'ayan tebe b'David lo mashkachat b'ibar mi uriya. Dechtim rak b'dvar uriya achiti. Abaye kshisha ra midrava la Rav. Hi Omer Rav achi. Di Omer Rav ki bel David lashon ara. Kasha. Gufa. Rav omar ki bel David lashon ara. Dechtim vayom lo amelech. Eifo hu. Vayom atziva amelech. Hinei u b'beit machir ben amiyah b'lo davar. Rav dvar shakam avek kam b'beit machir ben amiyah. Mi lo. It's also davar. Mirtek. Chaza de shikra havi. So the other arshin alayo, my time a kibla mine. The chiv, vayom ramelach va'ayei ben adonecha, vayom atziva lamelach in Yerushay b'Yerushalayim. Ki omar ayom yashivu li beit Yisrael et mamlochut avi. Fine. Uminalon de kibla mine, the chiv, vayom ramelach atziva, ngelach hakola shalom esiboshet. Vayom atziva ishtachaveti imtzachin b'inecha adoni amelach. Shmuel amar, lo kibel David lashon hara. Dvarim anikarim chazaba. Dechtiv, umifiboshet ben shohul yarad likrat ha-melech v'lo asa raglav v'lo asa sefa moved begadav lo kibetz min ayom lechet ha-melech ad ayom asher ba Yerushalayim. Uchtiv, vayi kibay Yerushalayim likrat ha-melech v'yom lo ha-melech lama lo alach v'yim mifiboshet v'yom ra adoni ha-melech abdi rimani. Yamar avdecha v'shaliach amor v'rkav aleha v'elech et ha-melech ki piseach avdecha v'yirago b'avdecha el ha-melech el ha-melech ha-melech v'adoni ha-melech k'malach Elohim ase atov b'inecha v'yomer lo ha-melech okay v'amad tedaber ol dvarecha amarti ata v'tziva t'chalku et ha-sadeh v'yomer b'biboshet el ha-melech gam et ha-ko yikach אחרי אשר בא אדוני המלך בשלום אל ביתו. אמר לו, אני אמרתי מתי תבוא בשלום, אתה עושה לי כך, לא עליך, יש לי תרומת, אלא מי שאביאך בשלום. אני תכתיב, ובן יונתן מריבה, מריבה, אבל מבוש את שמו, ומתוך שעשה מריבה עם בעלם, יצתה ברכו ואמרה לו, נאצה ונאצה. נאצה, אני אמר, בר נאצה, ויבוא שאלה דאריה המלכי, המלך ויורף בנוח. Omer Rav Mani means al iskei nocha. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, b'sha'a she'amar David l'mefiboshet ata v'tziva tetchalku et ha-sadeh, yatzta bat kol v'amra lo rechavam v'yiravam yechalku et ha-melucha. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, you see, in mother lo kibel David lashon hara, lo nechleka malchut beit David, v'lo avdu Yisrael avodah zarah, v'lo gilinu me'artzeinu. Omer Pshpo Banach Mini Omer Rav Yonatan. כל אומר שלמה חטאים לו על התורה, שנאמר, ולא היה לבבו שלם עם אל השם לקף כלבב דוד אביב. In other words, it's only כלבב דוד אביב, but הוא לא אוהב, אבל נכתנה מלאכות. אלא מה אני מקיים והאי להציג דק שלמה נשב איתו את לבבו, האי כרבי נתן, רבי נתן רם, כתיב, האי להציג דק שלמה נשב איתו את לבבו, וכתיב כלבב דוד אביב, כלבב דוד אביב הוא לא אוהב, ונכתנה מלאכות, אל תקמה. ויהי לעת זקנת שלמה נשב איתו את לבבו ללכת אחרי אלים אחרים ולא הלך. אי ואחתי ואז יבנה שלמה במה לשמור שיקוץ מואב מין שביקש לבנות after he was born. So מיד אז יבנה יהושע מזבח להשם, of course, doesn't mean he really built a מזבח, שביקש לבנות ולא בנה. בנה, הכנה מלבנה. אלא כנתניה רבי יוסי אומר את הבמות אשר פני ירושלים אשר מימין להר המשכן אשר בנה שלמה מלך ישראל להשטרות שקוט צידונים among all of the other garbage over here לחמור שקוט מואב and so on so אפשר בו עשה ולא בירם יושב ולא בירם עד שבו יושיו all of a sudden and he's מבייר them all כל הבן הזו שבר את ישראל לעשה ויושב בבירם אלא מקיש ראשונים לאחרונים מה האחרונים לא עשו אינם לא עשתה לבן לשבע אף ראשונים לא עשו ותעלה בהם בלגנאי, והכתיב היה שלמה, חרא בלי השם, אלא מפני שהיה לו למחות בן השם ולא מיכה, מעלה עליו הכתוב כאילו חטא. עומר רבי נאמר שמו נוח לו לאותו צדיק ששמע שדבר אחר, ואל יכתיב בו והיה שרה בלי השם. עומר רבי נאמר שמו בשעה שנשא שלמה את בת פרעה, הכניס לו 1,000 בני זמר, ואמר לו, כך עושים לעבוד עזר פלוניס, וכך עושים לעבוד עזר פלוניס, ולא מיכה בו. עומר רבי נאמר שמו, בשעה שנעשה שלמה את בת פרעה ירד גבריאל, ונעץ קנה ביום, ועלה בו סרטון, ועליו נבנה כרך גדול של רוני.
ומתניתתן אותו היום שכניס ירבם שני עגלי זהב, אחד בביתר ואחד בדן, נבנה צריף אחד. וזהו איטליה של יוון. אומר שמו בנחמני אומר ביונתן, כל האומר יושיהו חתינו אל התואר, שמבייס היושר בעיני השם וילך בכל דרך דוד עבדי. אמרני וקיים חמורה, לא היה לפניו מלך אשר שב על השם בכל לבבו, שכל דין שדן מבין 8 עד 18 יחזירן להם. שמא תאמר נתן מזה ונתן לזה, תאמר בכל מעודו, וזה זו מני, שנתן להם מי שלא, ופליגי לרב, יאמר רב, אין לך גדול, ובעל התשובה, יותר מיושיעו בדורו ואחד בדורנו, ומנו אבא עבוד רבי ימי בר אבא, זאת אומרת, זה אח, אחו את האבא עבוד רבי ימי בר אבא, יאמר רבי אבא ואח האחי הבי. אומר רבי יוסף, ועוד אחד בדורנו, ונצא אוקפן ברנחמיה, ריש גלותא, והיינו נתן דצוציתא, אומר רבי יוסף, אבי יתיב לו בפירקה וכמנם נאמר, וחזי בחילמה דקפש את ידה וקיבלי. I don't know about my baby.
He is, the Heiner Nozom Tzitzit is
It's his other name, yeah.
The Apostle Yeshua Me'ala, and that's what probably is a sin, didn't sin, turned into a very, could be. But where do we go back to Moshe and Aaron, now that we went through all these other people? Now, could it be that they really did a chet? We had a Machlokes, so they did a chet. How could it be with all these other people? I mean, we're talking about the greatest.
Different kind of chet. But Lamaisa over there, it's also a chet like Disheni. It wasn't, it was like Disheni, but it's one of the B'nai Yisrael. It wasn't themselves. All right, gentlemen.
What is Yerobim?